Good evening. My name is Bora, and I get to introduce today's summer song. So as Pastor Dana alluded to, it's freezing outside, which means it's summer in Berkeley. Pull out your sweatshirts and your mufflers. But we thought it would be fun this summer to go in a conjunction with our series in 1 John to have a theme and then a song, and in our own way compile a summer playlist. So every week we're going to have someone from the CWOW community share on a theme and then share a short little excerpt from that song. So tonight the theme is light, and our sharer is Jason Lee.
Hi. For this song, for the theme light, I decided to choose a song that I'd sung a lot at our church back in Boston before we came out here to California. The song is called Marvelous Light by Charlie Hall. And I think there are a lot of reasons why this song spoke to me in particular. I think when you think about light, you know, the many qualities of it. First, it allows us to see. It makes things look nice. But I think another aspect of light is that sometimes it exposes things that we may want to keep hidden. And I think what this song did for me was to realize that, you know, there's a power in the way that the gospel illuminates parts of our lives that's different from the way the world does. So normally, I think in the world, like when there's something in our lives that we try to hide, we try, you know, we're pretty ashamed or we feel embarrassed when that thing gets exposed, when that thing is hidden. Whether it's something an action we made, or whether it's just a birthmark or something. Like, we don't want that exposed because we're embarrassed by it. But I think one thing I realized is that, you know, the way that this song talks about it, and you'll listen to it shortly, is that, you know, when God's light is allowed to shine upon things, when we're able to be freed by the gospel, and just especially within the context of Christian community, when we're able to share about things in our lives that we may not be proud of, there's a lot of redemption and restoration in that. And God's light is able to provide a lot of healing. And that is one of the parts of the gospel message that I found most attractive and most powerful. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to share this song with you guys. Hope you enjoy it.
A reading from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him While we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we are in the second week of our series on 1 John, the Summer of Love. And I know when Pete Gidlin kicked off our series last week, he encouraged us to read 1 John throughout the summer, and he had a quick way of doing it. He said there's 5 chapters of 1 John, there's 5 days during the weekday, and so why don't you just read a chapter a day? And I got the connection cards back, and a lot of us said, yeah, we want to look at 1 John and read it. So I'm just curious, who got to read through 1 John at least once last week? Okay, that's good. That shows that we have these intentions on Sunday that maybe take a while to, you know, click into. That's totally fine, you know, because tomorrow's another week, so we can just start tomorrow. That's fine. But one thing I noticed as I was reading John is he's so repetitive. Anyway, you know, actually, Bruce gave me a tip. So I'm going to give you a tip tonight that Bruce Hansen gave me a tip about, that a pastor gave Bruce a tip about. He said, you know, the thing about 1 John is there's 3 themes. There's only 3 themes. So, and Bruce told me this, and I thought, oh, I'm remembering this. This is good. So maybe this will be helpful. Here's the 3 themes of 1 John, even though things are said over and over in different ways, and it's all circular and spirally and all these things. First theme is obey the commandments. Second theme, love one another. Third theme, confess your sins. That's not hard. Obey the commandments. Do the things that God's about. Confess your sins. Love one another. That's basically what 1 John's about, okay? So as you're kind of going through the roller coaster that is 1 John, just remember those 3 themes. I think that's really helpful. But John is super repetitive. And is it just because he doesn't know what to say? So he's like, you know, kind of nervous, so he's just going to say it again and again? Or is there something about the repetition that's actually really helpful for us? I see 2 benefits for the repetition. I think they're really, really strong. Repetition helps us remind us what's true. Repetition reminds us of the truth. Would you ever say to someone who says, I love you, say, oh, you've said that to me a million times. I am so sick of that. No, you want to hear it again and again and again. Would you ever say, oh, the gospel story, I've heard that before. Why would you tell me that again? No, you wouldn't say that. Those are the words of life. There's things that we need to be reminded of. Repetition is so helpful. So when John keeps saying, love one another, love one another, he's saying that because he's like, we need to be reminded of that, reminded of what is true. The way we're doing this series, as you can tell, is we're looking at one word per week, you know, light and hate and Jesus and sin and heart and God and all these themes that we see, all these repeated words in 1 John. There's one word that isn't on here. That is actually used about 35 times in John, and the word is no. About 35 times, John says, you know this, we know this, you know this, we know this. Again, he said, you know this stuff, guys, and let me repeat this to you and remind you, you know this, you know this. We need to be reminded of the truth again and again and again. I've got some news for you guys here. You probably already know it. Every time you come here on Sunday, I'd say about 90%, of what you're going to hear or what you're going to sing or the people you're going to look at are people that you already know. It's scripture that you've already read. are songs that you've already sung. And you know what? We're going to do it again, and we're going to do it again, and we're going to repeat it again. Because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of the love of God. We need to be reminded to confess our sins and come clean for God. We need to be reminded that we need to love these people that we see week in and week out again and again over the decades. Repetition is a really good thing because we need to be reminded of the truth. Okay, second benefit of repetition is I think John uses repetition to highlight these big important themes that we should pay attention to. And he does that within the letter by repeating these words again and again and again. The other thing that he does, and Pete talked about this last week, is he uses a lot of words in this letter of 1 John that he used in the Gospel of 1 John, in that biography of Jesus. So Pete started this last week. Here's how the letter of 1 John 1 starts. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim, concerning the word of life. Huh, that sounds a lot like the Gospel of John, the biography of Jesus that starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. I do think John's making some repetition to trying to connect this letter that he's writing to these people, connect to the person of Jesus. Let me add the part that Ron just read. If we were to continue to read a little bit through 1 John, starting in verse 5, this is the message that we've heard from him proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in the darkness, we lie, we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, okay, you kind of get the drift. Well, that just continues the same thing that's going on in the Gospel of John. If I continue from verse 3, that which had come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So John is repeating in his letter what he wrote in the gospel. He's trying to underline and highlight, guys, this is really, really important. Okay, you ready? Can you hold on to your hats for this one? You ready for this? Where does John come up with these ideas and these themes? Did he just like think of that word light and beginning all by himself? Where does he get that idea? He gets it from the very, very first book of the Bible. The beginning, the Genesis. Here we go. Are you ready? This is so cool. This is the very, very first words of Scripture. And it starts like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. See what John's doing? He's connecting all these words to his letter, to the person of Jesus, to the beginning of time. Isn't that cool? Because we can take a little phrase from 1 John and think, that just applies to me. And John's saying, no, this is a part of a big framework. This is part of the universe. These words in the letter of 1 John relate to Jesus and the gospel that relate to the beginning of time. I think that's super cool. So again, this word light isn't just simply John's idea, but it's tied up to the very fabric of the cosmos. Very cool. So let's pray, and then we'll get more deeply into this passage. Jesus, this word of light, it just has a lot of resonance. And we want to pray right now that you'd send your Holy Spirit to bring power into your scriptures. Lord, would you teach us a word that would not only sustain us, but that would grow us and turn us completely towards you, Jesus. And we pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Okay, so back to our passage. It starts with, this is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 5, God is light. What does John mean by that? What does he mean that God is light? One answer that we could say just out of the text, if you look at verse 6, is that light is could be taken out, and you can put the word truth in there, that God is truth. That light and truth are synonymous. And we see that because in verse 6 it says, if we say we have fellowship while we're walking in the darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. He could say, we lie. Every other instance of darkness, he correlates with light. Light and dark, like in dark. But here he says darkness and truth. So he seems to be saying that you could kind of switch out the word light and put in the word truth. Here at University of California, there's a motto, fiat lux, let there be light. They don't mean, when you see it says, let there be light, they don't mean let there be more sunshine, right? Let there be more electricity. No, they're saying, let there be light, let there be knowledge, let there be truth. So you can translate light into truth. Well, you say, well, why don't you just say that, John? Why don't you just say, you know, why don't you just say truth instead of light? Why do you do that? You know why I think he chooses the word light? First of all, like I mentioned earlier, I think he's trying to connect us to some big ideas in Genesis. The second thing, if you read John's other writings, his gospel, and also the book of Revelation and the Apocalypse and all those images, I think John is really a really good teacher. That he knows that a visual like light, we can stay with a lot more than something a little more abstract like truth. Okay, so just like John's a good teacher because he repeats a lot, I think John's a very good teacher because he also gives us these word pictures like light. Think about light. And we're like, oh yeah, I can think about light. I understand that. The truth is a little hard to grasp, but it's much more easier to understand light. So let's talk about light for a minute here. Yeah, we'll go back to that light. There we go. What does light do? Well, negatively, if you think of light in the negative, it helps us avoid danger, right? If you want to be a fear-based definition of light, okay? Here we go. You know, because when we walk in the darkness, you know, we could like stumble over a log, or we could encounter ne'er-do-wells, or we could, you know, fall into a hole. And so light protects us from that. Darkness is a threat. And so light changes all that. Light comes and exposes the different dangers that we encounter. Now, positively, if we look at light positively, light helps us get the thing that we want, where we're trying to go. So, like, headlights help us stay on the road, right? It's a good thing. Sunlight is necessary for plants to grow. Light is a good thing. I wonder, I'm kind of on this Genesis kick, but just for a minute, just indulge me, will you? I wonder if this is why Genesis begins with white light. Over anything else, that if light is synonymous with truth, is there something about the scripture starting with light that's basically saying you've got to have that foundation of truth that everything else is built on? You know, why didn't you start with the animals? Because, I mean, we know Genesis is not a science textbook. I know some people think that is not a science textbook, but it will tell us something about the universe. Is there something about starting on the first day with light? This basic thing, this truth is so important, it's so foundational that everything else is built on it. So we're going to start with light. We're going to start with truth and build on that. I think so. I think so. And so here in John, this is what's so cool. The very first picture of what John wants us to see about God is that God is light. That's the very first image, the way that he describes God, is God is light. In him is no darkness at all. This is such good news because that means if we come to God, there's no darkness. That we can find freedom and hope and all those light words, joy in God. That in God, all those stumbling logs and those ne'er-do-wells and those holes, they're all exposed by him. There's no shadows in God. There's no hidden agenda. There's no small print. That he is light and there's no darkness at all. Do you ever do those Groupon things? I used to do them. I got kind of jaded. Because some of them offer these things and there's this fine print, you know, like $50 dinner for $5. I'm like, shoot, I'm in. The light has dawned. I'm getting a cheap dinner. And then you read the small print. Only Mondays at midnight. No. And you can only have the liver and onion special. Right? God isn't like that. God's not like that. He doesn't do a bait and switch. You know, we don't say, okay, God, I'm going to come to you. And all of a sudden he goes, ha ha, here's some shadows. That's not who God is. There is no darkness in God. He is completely and utterly good. Wow. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And there's no small print that would qualify that character. All right, you're like, okay, enough theology. Would you please get practical? All right, here we go. Let's try to do this. Okay, so And this is what I think John's doing. He's trying to get practical with all this stuff from Genesis, all this from the gospel. What could this really look like if we were to live it out, if we were to live in the light? Or as John puts it, walk in the light here in verse 7. What does it mean to live this pattern of life? Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have two things. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. For some of you who are just new and checking out the faith, you're like, this is what scares me about the Bible. I don't know what these words mean, the blood of Jesus. Just say, hang with me, okay? Hang with me. First thing, fellowship with one another. And you're like, oh, Steve, prove it. I never use the word fellowship in my regular language. I don't either. Fellowship is one of those Christian-easy words that does, you're like, what is that? You don't use that, right? Can I go to your house and have fellowship? You only say that if you're like a church person, right? That's not normal language. So let me define. The word fellowship means unity. It means community. It means sharing life together. Is that more helpful? That helps me a lot. We have unity with one another. We have community with one another. We share life with one another. So who do we? What's that one another? It's us and God for sure. That if we walk in the light, we have this relationship with us and God. I think that's really great. Here's the part that's harder. It also means we have this relationship with each other in the community. And let me tell you why that's hard. I love the image of Jesus and me walking together at the Berkeley Marina. Hand in hand. I don't know what that's going to be. But you know what I mean? That there's something nice about me and Jesus walking together. But you know, yeah, maybe we'll walk up to Telegraph to industrial tattoo and get a tattoo on my arm. I heart Jesus. And then if you're embarrassed by that, you can wear long sleeves. But anyway, there's something that's very nice about us and Jesus walking together. John doesn't let us stay there. John says fellowship with one another, also meaning all of us. It's funny, I was just with some friends who are newer Christians a couple days ago, and at their church, this church is more liberal politically, which a lot of folks in our church are too, and this friend of mine is more conservative politically, and so we gave a more of a conservative view, and this guy's new to the faith, poor guy. He gave a more conservative view on a topic, and he got pounced on, to which he said, I'm not going back to church. Isn't that sad? To which his friend said to him, you have to. Because that's how we're supposed to be. That's what 1 John's saying. You have to. You have to have fellowship with one another. Because we're made to be together. Even if you don't like it, you have different politics, different personality, whatever that is, we're supposed to have fellowship with one another. You're like, oh man, I want to get back to that marina with Jesus. I like my walk. Anyway. But here's what we see. If we walk in the light with Jesus, he's in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And it works kind of circularly. Meaning, if we're walking with Jesus, we're doing the Jesus things, if we're following the commands, obeying the commands, that's one of the themes, then one result is we do have this fellowship with one another. Sometimes we try to have community, we try to be unified without following the teachings of Jesus. And that's a lot of times where community crumbles and fractures. Because we're just not following the ways of God and it all kind of falls apart. We really need God's help. It's possible, I think, to have true, deep community without Jesus helping us with that. But what he's also saying is, put it the other way, you want to walk in the light of God? You want to do his ways? Works the other way too. Then you've got to have fellowship with one another. Because that's going to help you understand the ways of God, is by being with each other. Okay, that's one way this kind of circularly 1 John works. So here's a fun story. I had a delightful coffee with someone who's newer to our church, and she said that for the past few years she'd been praying and studying the Bible all by herself, and that worked really well for a while, and then she realized, I don't think I can grow any more in this Jesus light stuff unless I actually start joining a community that's going to help me. Yeah, that was delightful. Like, you got it. You got it. There's something about fellowship with one another that helps us walk in the light. Okay, the other thing that is promised if we walk in the light is we have Jesus cleansing us from sin. I want to say that we're going to have a sin talk later on because that is a big theme in John, so I'm just going to touch on it just for a second. Walking in the light means that we see things the way that God sees things. And we respond to things the way that God responds to them. So in terms of sin, what it means when we walk in the light, we actually hate the sin that we've done, and we actually kind of name it as ugly. We call it out as, this isn't right. And then we ask Jesus for help and we turn from that. And that's what it means to walk in the light and be cleansed from sin. And again, it's circular again, because what it means is when we're walking in the light, when we're following the ways of Jesus, we have a sensitivity towards sin that we didn't have before. God wrecks us. He totally wrecks us. You know, you know, Cat in the Hat, you give him an inch and he comes and he just changes your attitudes about things. He changes your values about things. He just wrecks us. And we're so much better. So walking in the light gives us a sensitivity towards sin, and that's one way it works. We walk in the light of Jesus, we become more sensitive towards sin. But the other thing that happens is we confess our sin, we find ourselves walking more clearly in the light, because we can see that light more clearly. Okay, let me wrap up. Let me wrap up with this. I don't really need this picture, because look at today. But anyway, I have some friends and some relatives who live in the northern climates. And in the winter, they battle with what is called a seasonal affective disorder. It means it's just so gray, they get depressed. Again, we don't need that picture. Just look out there. Yeah. They get so depressed, because what it is day after day after day of no sunlight, you just feel down. And it's a physiological phenomenon. So people, you know, do things like they take vitamin D, they try to exercise more. But the main thing that people do to increase the light in their life is they get these bright lights, and they just kind of stay under that for a while. And sure enough, just being under bright light helps them feel better. So the goal for my friends and my family who live in these climates, the goal during winter is to increase the amount of light in their life. That's what I think John wants us to do. I think John wants us to increase the amount of life in our life, our light in our life. That's encouraging, because God wants to help us with that. How might we do that? How might we join the quest of, yes, I want more light in my life. I want to experience more of that. Well, it's real simple. It's how we began. We have fellowship with one another. That's going to help us a lot. And we obey the commandments. One of the commandments is to love one another and have fellowship. Another one is to confess our sins. Those seem to be the three things that if we do those things, we'll experience more of God in our life. Pull out your connection cards. Here's the next step. I will increase light into my life. And then one box is you can confess sins. You can add your other boxes. Sorry, the deadline came. Saying I want to have fellowship with one another. Or I want to learn the commandments, which would simply be reading 1 John each week. That would be a great way to do that. Imagine a life that's completely full of light. No stumbling, no falling into holes. Wherever you're headed, there's a light that directs you. That's the kind of life that God wants to give us. And so with that, let me pray, and then we're going to continue into worship. Jesus, I want to pray now that you would come and increase your light in our lives. I want to ask, particularly for those of us who are struggling with sin, that you would shine light on that and help us confess our sins, that we can be clean, that we can get that off of us. I want to pray that you would increase the light for those of us who are kind of afraid to have fellowship with one another. Pray that you would help us take the step in. Lord, whether it's broken relationships, that you would help restore them. Lord, I pray that you would help us increase the light by helping us learn your commands and your rules, your laws. We know that they're for our good, but we're not that familiar with them, Lord. So would you give us a hunger for your scriptures? Would you give us a hunger to learn from one another, to learn more about you through one another, and receive the glorious light that you have for us? And we pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Take a minute to fill out the connection cards and then folks will connect.